looking forward to what we've got going on. We'll give you more details. We'll start prayer meetings up again in September. I'll give that information to you. We're still working on some things here. And praise God. It's good. Can you believe September's here? Robert says to me, she said, how did it go by? How's hunting season already here again? But it is, amen. So praise God. We want to go ahead and dismiss children for Super Church this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read starting in verse 45 here in just a minute. Matthew 13:45. Let's read that. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. Let's pray. Father, you have a word for us today. You always speak. You're faithful to speak. Speak to us today. From your word, speak to our hearts. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to grab a hold of the truth and run with it. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just contemplating this week and praying about what to preach on today, and I kept coming back to a certain thought, and the Lord led me to this scripture. I was talking to somebody that was part of a religion. It's actually probably a cult. And they were just talking about their relationship with God, and it was so dry. Their concept was just so dry and so empty. And I said in my heart, I want to know God like God wants to know me. I want to know God in a way that is real, that is eternal. You know, some people, all they've got is the little works and things they can scavenge together in this life. They don't have an eternal relationship with the Lord. And so, as you read this scripture, he says the kingdom of heaven is like this guy. We're going to look at that. And it's about somebody that found what really matters. How many want to find out what really matters? That found something of value. Now, I was just thinking about, you know, we can miss valuable things in our lives. We could not see them. I came across a story. It says sometime in the early 1980s, metal detection enthusiasts Reg Mead and Richard Miles encountered a woman who told them a strange story. And she said that her father, a farmer on the British island of Jersey in the English Channel, had discovered silver coins while plowing his field. Mead and Miles approached the farmer, who gave them permission to search, but only for 10 to 15 hours right after the field's crop was harvested. 30 years later, Mead and Miles were still searching when in June of 2012, they spotted coins. Calling in some professional archaeologists, the coins slowly made their way out of the ground. All 68,000 of them. That's amazing, isn't it? The hoard also contained gold neck torques, a sort of open-ended necklace, and glass beads. Archaeologists determined that the hoard was buried around 30 BC to 40 BC by French Celts who were known as the Coriolsolitae tribe of the Celts. They were most likely fleeing from a Roman invasion. Julius Caesar was the Roman emperor at the time. Now, at that time, in 2012, that hoard that they found was worth $13 million. So you can add inflation to that and probably double that now. But needless to say, how many would have been glad to turn that one up? Yeah. But here, right in their field, right next to their house, right where their kids were playing and their tractors were going and whatever else, was something that was so valuable. But they didn't see it for a long time. In fact, I might have been saying, why couldn't I have found this 30 years ago? Right? But here they are, and they find this, and that's sort of like the story that Jesus, the comparison that Jesus made about the kingdom of God and finding God's plan and God's relationship in our lives. So let me ask you a question. What is your view of the Christian life? See, many people, knowing God is purely a secondary thing. It's a little something they add to their life. If they can fit him in, they're going to fit him in. But it's very second. Their pursuit of God is pretty nominal. This really came out during COVID. There were a lot of people, and as soon as the government said, well, we don't want you to meet, they said, okay, been looking for a good reason anyhow. And you know that 1 in 3 of churchgoers at the beginning just easily just said, we're just stopping church. They just quit worshiping. They just gave it up just like that. Others, thank God others fought for it. And how many of church is important? Anything that God gives you is important. I'm trying to think of the guy. What's the guy that just passed? MacArthur, yeah. John MacArthur. He took him on straight on. He told California, he said, we're meeting. They said, we're going to sue you. But he took on because it was important. And it related to his relationship with God. So how do you view your relationship with God today? What's an honest assessment? And I'm not here today to pick on anybody. I just think all of us, the Bible says examine to see whether you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. And so I think it does all of us good. I'm not going to examine you, and you don't need to examine. We need to examine ourselves, right? Let the Holy Ghost help us. And so is your Christianity something that just has a little place in your life? Is it something that is there some days and non-existent other days? How important is your relationship with God? How important is your prayer life to you? How important is reading your Bible to you? How important is doing what God would want you to do, like witnessing to somebody? It could be no big deal. Take it or leave it, which is how many, many people are. Jesus is a little something they add to their life, and that's about it. But in this parable, let's read it again. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. I'm going to stop right there. This merchant is seeking fine pearls. The first thing I want you to see is pearl is plural there. Now, he's not just seeking one pearl. He's seeking fine pearls, many pearls. And so he's hungering for something more, but at this point, it's not just one thing. And you know, isn't that the way a lot of us start out? We're seeking pearls in life. We're seeking something that brings fulfillment to us. We think, well, you know, we're seeking the right relationship. That's just a pearl S. That's pearls. We're seeking, you know, the right thing that satisfies us, the right career, the right home, the right car, and much of the world is seeking many pearls. They're just trying to find something. And you know, the truth of it is, we keep finding pearls, and then none of them turn out to be the pearl. Right? None of them turn out, because I'm telling you, there is the pearl. Amen. And so, this merchant is just seeking, and he finds certain things, but you know, how many ever heard that old... It's a good analogy that inside all of us, there's a God-shaped vacuum. And you can suck all kinds of things into your life. You can seek, you know, people seek a career. They think, if I just have that degree, and they get the degree, and guess what? It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit because there is a God-shaped vacuum. There is something that only will be satisfied by the living God himself. You were created in such a way that I don't care. I'm not saying that it's not just going to a certain church. It's having the relationship with the living God. There's something that, and this is why people pursue things, and they lust after certain things. And, you know, if I just had this, if I just had that. I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were telling me about a friend of theirs. And this person... Their whole goal, they thought, man, if I could just have my house and have it completely paid for, that would be the ticket. That would make me happy. And then one day, they took that final payment, they paid it off, they got the title deed, and guess what they felt? Emptiness. It's like, now what? You know why? Because that's not the pearl. Thank God. I thank God when he helps us. But I'm telling you, you can have the best house in the world to have it paid for, and you can still be very unsatisfied in life. Because the problem is, we don't see what is really there. And people relentlessly, you know the trick of the devil, he always holds that carrot. If I could just get that carrot, and as soon as we eat that carrot, it's like, well, if I could get that carrot, I know that carrot wasn't it, but this next carrot's going to be it. And we spend our life chasing carrots that don't really matter. People do it with all kinds of things. Some of the more common ones are education or the job or a certain guy or a certain girl. But we relentlessly chase things that don't satisfy. So this is like the merchant. He's chasing certain pearls. He's looking for that one thing. It's like, man, I want that one perfect thing. And then one day, guess what? In our story, he finds it. And when he sees that pearl, he says, this is it. I'm a pearl collector. I have never seen anything like, and it says it out loud, finding not many pearls, one pearl. Can I tell you there is one pearl that we need? One pearl of great value. Not several pearls, not several opportunities, just one. And so he comes along, and as he's sifting through, let me just say this. God wants us to stop sifting through the junk of life and find the one pearl that matters. How many have done some sifting? I have. We've done some sifting through. You know, we're like people that go to yard sales all the time.
Somebody said, oh, that's me. I'm not poo-pooing yard sales. Everybody has their own thing.
But you know, I've asked myself, I know some people, and they're wealthy, but yet they're in yard sales all the time. But inside, they're sifting through junk. I personally don't like junk. You know, Pastor John, you turn him loose in a Goodwill store, and he is in hog heaven. He loves it. He showed me on the trip. He got this shirt. He knew the brand name. He said, I got this. I paid just a few dollars for it. It fits me perfect. And, you know, it ain't me. I don't like root through. I like to go to my size, pick out the size and the color I want, and go out of the store. But Pat, with him, it's about digging for, you know, I read recently about somebody that was at a yard sale, and they paid $2 for the Old Man in the Sea. It's a Hemingway. It wasn't the actual painting. It was a first print edition of that, and they paid $2 for it, and it was worth $30,000. Some of you just got the lights. You're going to yard sale next week. You know, that's why people go. They're always hoping they'll get that $2 deal that turns into $30,000. But, and then that's fun. That's just life and things. But the thing is, there is one pearl. And many people, here's the strategy of how you sift through the junk. You sift through the junk. And you realize this wasn't it. And that one. But then this, like this man, there is one great pearl. And the Bible says it has great value. Can I tell you that what that pearl is your relationship with Jesus Christ. It has greater value than anything, than your family, than your friends, than things, than anything that money can buy. It has the greatest value. It's something that is wonderful. And when you invest in this and you go after that thing, you'll begin to see something that all of life will never measure up to. You know, as we were in Africa, and Kyle shared last week a lot of the details of that trip, nobody in their right mind would go to Congo just to go to Congo at this point, maybe in years past. But it's a devastated country beyond what we can put into words, but you wouldn't go in there, but you know what? I didn't go to Congo to go to Congo. I went to Congo because I have a relationship with Jesus, and in doing that, there was a joy that was in my heart Lord, if I do your will, I'm going to be happy. You know, you'll be happy in the Congo. You'll be happy in the desert, in the city, in the country. It won't matter if you're in God's will. But what made that real to me, I was just, you know, looking at everything there. And what I was happy during that time because I had the pearl, right? I have a relationship with the living God. So John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. So what is eternal life all about? It is about that they may know you. That word know there is a very intimate word. It's not just a knowledge of, but it's knowing. It's an intimate knowing of God. So what eternal life is about, the real pearl, is that you truly, truly know Jesus. You can go to church and not know Jesus. You can memorize scripture and not know Jesus. You can have all kinds of religious trappings in your life and you could not know Jesus. But the real pearl is when you know Jesus. His presence is there in the morning. You're building on something over the years. You get a track record of knowing God. Knowing Him. Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone. Are you listening? This is the one thing you can boast in. That they truly know me and understand that I am Lord. There's the pearl. That they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love. That pearl is unfailing love. It is so wonderful to know. I read something just this week and it talked about the unfailing love of God. And it's just like, man, it touched my heart. And it says, and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that delight in these things I, the Lord, have spoken. What has He spoken? He says that the most important thing is that they may truly know me and understand that I am the Lord. How many want that today? To truly know Him. It's supernatural. Now, in order to do this, I can talk to you, I can witness, I can share with a lot of people, but a lot of people, can I tell you, if you're going to truly know Him, you're going to have to get a divine revelation. But I am telling you, God wants to give you that. Where God is, there is revelation. If you are listening, He is speaking. Are you with me today? He will touch your heart. You know, years ago, I probably talked about this horse before, but I can't invent new horses. I just have the ones I had. When I was a kid, I was just a horse crazy person. I just thought I wanted a horse so bad. My dad didn't like horses. And so I read every book. I read every book in the library about a horse. And so anyway, as long as story short, I finally ended up with a horse. And after a few years, I finally ended up with the horse that was the pearl. And we got this skinny mare, and she was kind of like a flea-bitten gray, and big, tall, and she looked horrible. And so my dad brought her home, bought her from this lady, and brought her home, and that horse's name was Wimmy. And so I started to ride that horse, and she was actually my brother's horse. And I had this fat little wild pony named Jojo. And so I told my brother, I started watching that horse. I thought, you know what, there's something about that horse I like. I liked every horse, but this one I especially like. And I started looking at her, and I told my brother, I said, you know, you just got that skinny little flea-bitten gray thing. I'll trade you this nice fat pony for her. So he said, okay. And so he got Jojo, and I got Wendy. And so I began to ride that horse. She began to fill out. Pretty soon she was looking good. And what was amazing is she was extremely well-trained. You could just neck rein that horse just by touching. She was like she's just very well-trained. She was fast. She would run. She was really a tremendous horse. And so I thought, you know what, this, This horse has some breeding. And so I began to backtrack, I can't believe we bought her from, and chase it down. And finally I found out that this horse had been sold in a divorce. He got the horse and she got the papers. It was a bad divorce. He told me about it. He says, yeah, she went in my house and she cut one arm and one leg off of all of my clothes. So that's pretty mean, isn't it? I probably thought of some mean things, but I never thought of that. So anyways, so I told him, I said, well, I got this horse. He says, yeah, she is really well bred. I said, well, I'd like to get the papers on this horse. So she's registered. He said, she's registered. He said, yeah. He says, she saw that horse, and if you know Appaloosas, you can have sort of a neutral color horse, which was this, but a lot of times that neutral color horse will throw a really good color in their project. So I talked to this guy. I think he wanted to get back to her. So we made a plan. He said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write you a bill of sale, even though you didn't buy her directly from me. But we didn't do anything illegal as far as the buying. It's just that we couldn't track all it. He says, I'll just give you a bill of sale, and then you can send in and you can get that horse's papers. And guess what? I got that horse's registration papers, and she was indeed a fabulous horse. She had gorgeous colts. I had her for many years. Now, all of that whole long story, is to tell you that I saw something in that horse. I got a revelation. When I rode her, I mean, there was just something. It's like, I saw something. You know what? She may have been bony, skinny. She may have had a big head on her, but that horse had some value to her. And did you know here's the thing. You've got to see the value of what it is to really know God. You've got to see the value in that. You've got to see the pearl. See, our man today, our merchant, he saw something. He said, that's it. I don't know what the pearl looked like, but he said, that pearl has value. Psalms 139, verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And you know when I sit down and I rise up and you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lie down and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Now, David got a revelation here from God about his value. You know, God doesn't have the problem we are. He never looks at money and says, that's the pearl of great price. He never looks at a hot car or a nice house or this or that. He's never, but see, David got a revelation about how God viewed him. And you'll see probably in the Bible, there's nobody that loved the Lord more than David did. He had a revelation of who God was, and he said, God, you see something in me. And he knew his messes. He knew his problems. But he knew that God saw, you know, when God wants you to find the pearl, let me tell you, he sees in you what nobody else sees. You ever heard the saying, nobody can love but their mama? Sometimes that's true, right? But God sees, and David says he got a personal revelation about his relationship, and he says, this is too wonderful. See, when this man saw that pearl, do we view our relationship? This is too wonderful. I'm telling you, the mercy of God is too wonderful for me to comprehend. Why would he put up with me? Why would he forgive us 5,000 times? Why would he take his son and give up his son for somebody like me? You know, we all could use revelation. It's too wonderful. David says, it's too wonderful, God. How you look at me. You know, you say, well, doesn't everybody say, no. There was a guy we call him the rich young ruler in Luke 18, and he came to Jesus. And he saw some value in his relationship with God. And he says, what else do I need to do to really get all that is there for me? And Jesus said, one thing you still lack is to sell all that you possess and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Here's the problem. The guy didn't have the revelation to see that if I sell everything, if I give up everything but him, I win. Do you see that today? If I let everything else go, I am telling you, few people realize that he is the pearl. He's more important than your husband, than your wife, than your kids, than your money, than your career, than anything. And so no, and this guy couldn't see it. The Bible says he walked away. I'm telling you today, every one of us, I pray, God, help me. Give me revelation by you to see my relationship with you as I ought to see that. So right here, it first takes a revelation. See, heaven is actually just a byproduct. You know what's going to make heaven great? Jesus. Jesus is there. I'm not all caught up on streets of gold. Honestly, I don't care. As long as there's no balls, I'm good. Amen? I'm not caught up in mansions, but I tell you what I am caught up in. I am addicted to my relationship with Jesus Christ. I am addicted to knowing I am right with him, to sensing his presence. You know, I thank God for my roots, for my dad, for my mom, who's here today. I thank God for my grandparents, and especially on my mom's side. We called her Nanny, and Nanny immigrated from Germany. And she knew God. She loved the Lord. She lost her husband. He was killed in an accident, run over by a train. She never remarried. She said, God's enough for me. And she raised her three kids to serve the Lord. And you know, she lived to 98 years old. You know what her last words were? Her last words were with Jesus in heaven. My mom told her, she said, Mama, you can go. She said, you don't have to hang on. And she said that Nanny threw her hands up and said, with Jesus in heaven. And just a short time later, she was gone. She didn't say in heaven with Jesus. She said, with Jesus in heaven. See what I'm saying? He was everything. He was her pearl. He was it. And she lived, what's glorious, she lived her life that way before her life was over. That's the point today. God wants you to get this revelation with Jesus. One day you'll be in heaven. But you know, you can be with Jesus right now. You're with me. So the last two things I want to say about this parable that the Lord gives us. There are two things. When the man got the revelation, and I pray you get a revelation, the greatest thing you can have is to know Jesus and to have a wonderful relationship with him. But here's what has to happen. It says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he does two things that are very critical. He says he went and he sold all that he had and he bought the pearl. So the first thing, to obtain this pearl, because again, we're talking that pearl is your relationship with Jesus, right? So there was two things that he had to do. There is a price. The first thing he had to do, he had to sell all. Now, doesn't mean that every time a person gets saved, they have to run out and sell everything they own. But what it does mean is that everything else becomes unimportant compared to that relationship. Can I tell you that a deep relationship with the Lord has a price tag? It has a price tag. The Bible says consider the cost. It talks about people that start a building, but they don't consider what it's going to cost, and they're not able to finish that. So, in a sense, to have this type of relationship, you're going to have to let some other things go. Let's just get realistic to you. You know, we live in a time, and we say, well, I can do everything. You know, I can be the top career woman, the top career dad, and pursue all that. I can be the perfect family man, and you know what? It's not true. It's not true. There's a term that's called opportunity cost. To grasp one opportunity, you're going to have to give up some other opportunities. That's just the way it is. There are opportunity costs. If you were, let's just say, you're going to buy a business, In order to, you're going to sink all your money in this business, you're going to have to let some other things go. And so there are things that he said that merchant had to go out and he had to let some things go. He had to sell all. I don't know what that meant for him. Did it mean selling his boat? Did it mean, I don't know for sure, but he had to sell all. See, what do you need to sell, in essence, in order to pursue your relationship with Jesus? This can be sort of a hard truth, but each day when you get up, certain things are going to take priority in your life, right? Sometimes selling all is giving up some sleep so you can commune with the Lord, right? It might be, you know, when I first got saved, I had different plans, different dreams, things I was going to do. The Lord called me to pastor, and I had to sell all. I had to say, you know what? College ain't going to happen for me. Like I planned. I was getting ready to go to college and become an accountant. And so I had these different plans. And so the Lord dealt with me. And I realized I can't pursue everything that I think I need to pursue in my natural fleshly self in order to have what God has. And you know what? Whenever you sell something for your relationship with the Lord, so to speak, you never come out on the bottom. You never come out on the bottom. But when you reverse that, you will always come out on the bottom. You will look back and say, I should have done this. I should have done that. The man had to sell some things. You cannot do everything you want, pursue everything you want, and do everything. There's a cost. There's a cost that's involved. And he says, and everyone, Jesus said in Matthew 19, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers. So we're talking about relationship leaving at times. We're talking about monetary things like houses. He says, or father or mother or children or farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So there might be financial pursuits. There might be, some people, well, they're going to sell their soul. We believe in good work ethic, but I'm telling you, there's more to life than work. Somebody said it good. They said, nobody lays on their deathbed and says, I wish I had spent a little more time working. Well, they probably not maybe. Maybe some that were lazy. I don't know. But pursuits and securities. I'm just telling you that the man had to sell. You don't get the pearl without making those decisions. The cares of the world. You know, so many times, the devil don't want you to have that pearl, my friend. He doesn't want you to have that. And it says in Mark 4:18, he says, Now these, he's talking about the different seed, remember? These are the ones that were sown among the thorns. And they are the ones who hear the word. They get the revelation. And the cares of this world with the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. You know what will replace a lot of people's relationship with God? Desire for other things. Entering in, and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So there's a revelation here. It's for you to talk to God about it. It's for me. But God will challenge you. If you're going to have that pearl, it's going to have to take a central focus. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And you therefore, he's speaking to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one, now watch this, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He makes the comparison there. If you sign up as a soldier, they own you. You're going to go to boot camp. Where they say you're going to go to boot camp. You're going to stay as long as they say. And so there is a cost that has to be looked at there to sell all. And when you make those decisions, you know, let me just tell you, God will never rip you off. You know, let's just Kyle talked a little bit about money today. Some people are so afraid to give the tithe to the Lord. As if God really needs your money. He needs your heart, right? You will never be ripped off. When you can't, I am telling you, if you do not understand that, you are listening to the lies of the devil. I cannot afford not to tithe, right? I cannot afford not to tithe. Because the Bible shows me that when I tithe, things happen in the financial arena and otherwise, and the windows of heaven are opened up on my life. But the devil would come and say, well, you know what, if you let that go, if you, see, money, this money presents an opportunity. You got to let that opportunity for a greater opportunity for pleasing God. Amen? Now, the second thing is once that merchant gave up and he sold all, you cannot have it, everything, he sold all and he went, now you have to make the purchase. You know, there are some people, and it's not just about the giving up, it's about the giving up to get something greater. Are you with me? It doesn't do no good to sell it all if you're just going to sit there and be sour because you sold it all. There are some people, well, I gave up everything. It's not just about the giving up, it's about the owning something better, right? And then it says he went and he purchased that pearl. You know, there are people today, I mean, if you go back east and you go to where the Amish are, they give up all the time. They give up electricity. They give up tractors to do their farming with. They give up a lot of things. But it doesn't mean they know God. I mean, they're legalistic. That it's not just about the giving up. He said to the rich young ruler, he says, sell it all. Now come and get in on what I've got for you. Are you with me? I'm going to get in. He checks us, and yes, there is a price, but now you've got to buy and invest in the right thing. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means you begin to daily invest, and you begin to buy up what God has. Time in the Word of God. Getting with the Lord, getting with the body of Christ, plumbing the depths of building a deeper relationship with the Lord. So now you begin to know Him. It doesn't do any good just to give up. And you know, there are many groups, it's just give up. It's like you're holy if you're austere. You're holy if you put a bun on your head and you just wear these kind of clothes and you don't ever do this and you don't, no, that's, We need to know God. Do you know His voice? Because Revelations 3:20 says this, that behold, the Lord stands and He knocks. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will dine with him and he with me. So you make that decision, yes. I have had God challenge me specifically. You know, any of us can get too wrapped up in something. You ever gotten too wrapped up in something? It might be a hobby, it might be a certain focus in life that you have. And I've had God check me and say, you know what? I want you to set that aside. It's not because it was evil in and of itself. It said it was starting to put tentacles. You know, all of our hearts, there are tentacles that can get in there. But then, you've got to replace that with knowing God. What do you need to do? Each day you need to invest. In there. See, so we understand with money. And we sell it all. Now we got this money. Now we got to go invest it in what is more valuable. Invest that in prayer. Invest that in the knowing the presence of God. When I said to you earlier, I am addicted to the presence of God. I was early this morning, I was out and I went out and did some tours and things, and I was out in the bar and I just began to pray. And man, almost immediately, I was praying in tongues, the presence of God just dropped in on me. And in my, I thought, that is the most valuable thing to me. When God is there, when He is with me, when I sense His presence. And so, you know, whatever it takes to be in the presence of God, to move forward in that relationship. And I end with this, that one of the ways to check yourself whether you're knowing God in the way that you ought to, is you begin to love what He loves. You begin to be interested in what He's You know, have you ever read stories about people like maybe even some of your own relatives? They came from someplace like Ireland. You know, a lot of people came out of Ireland to the U.S. because they couldn't have land. And they had to work for rich people that just, they were sharecroppers, basically. They could never own. And so ingrained in their hearts was, if I can get to America, and if I can own my own piece of land, and then the land became everything. And so you got generations, and maybe they farmed, or maybe they ran a cow, or whatever. And it's like, this dream was a family dream. It was something that would end up. Can I tell you that when you know God, you begin to love and focus on what He loves. Are you with me? So when you have, one of the ways to check your heart is, do you have a love for people? Do you care whether people go to heaven or whether people go to hell? Does it matter to you? Because there's some Christians like, oh well, yeah, I'm going to heaven, but I don't know about them. And the thing is, no, I can't make anybody, but I'm telling you, you cannot be close to Jesus and not care about people. There's something wrong. That's a telltale sign that, because when I draw near to God, I begin to love what He loves. I begin to care about what He cares about. You know, in the disciples, they didn't really get this at the beginning. Now they did, you know, out of all of the disciples, except for one, gave up their, they were martyred, except for John the Revelator. They were killed, they were sawn in half, they were boiled in oil, they were all of them. They gave up their life. Why did they do that? They did that because they loved people and they wanted you and I to be saved. Something developed in their heart and they began to love people. And in John 4:32, Jesus meets this woman. We call her the Samaritan woman. And he met this woman, and the disciples looked at her and they thought, she's irritating. Just send her away. She's from some foreign group of people, and so they came back and they had gone to get lunch. And when they come back, Jesus is hyped. If you read between the lines there, He is like stirred up. This woman, you know, you can know this. Whenever I have a good witness, and they are open, I mean, it is like, it's the most wonderful thing. It's like something stirs up in your heart. So they come back, and Jesus has been witnessing to this woman, and He told her He could give her the water that would never run out. And she's so changed by that time. She goes back into town, and the whole city gets excited and comes out to hear from Jesus because of that witness. That's a pretty powerful witness, amen? And so the Samaritan and Jesus comes, they come out and He said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. He got a satisfaction. You know why? Because the Father loved people. And Jesus loved the Father. And so when you love Jesus, you'll love people. Does that make sense? You'll care what happens. You'll care about your neighbors. You'll go beyond your fears to witness. In verse 34, He says, my food, in other words, what satisfies me, my food, is to do the will of Him who sent me to finish His work. Lift your eyes and look at the white fields ready to harvest. See, can I tell you, people are God's pearl. People are God's pearl. A great price. He should be our pearl, but we're His pearl. And I didn't say, I'm just His pearl. People are God's pearl. So when I am where I need to be with God, I care about people. Anytime that my heart gets so cold and I don't care anymore, I need to draw near to God. Have you ever been that way? I certainly have. There have been times when I'm just cold. It's like, oh God, just get me away from Him right now. But I can't stay in that place because Jesus gave His life for that, right? One of the greatest values you can give back to God is to care for people. And Romans 8:32 says, as He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? I'm going to read that once more. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things.
Here's the kicker of everything I said.
When you buy the only pearl, you get everything else with it.
He says, he'll give you all things.
Alright?
He'll give you what you need. And he'll give you what, you know, how many of you ever thought you needed something until you got what you thought you needed?
And you're going, oh my goodness, why did I want that? Why did I have to have that?
But you know, with the Lord, he'll just give you everything that you need once you get him. He will graciously give us all things.
So today, make the Lord your pearl. Make him your pearl. Say, God, maybe I've gotten away from you. Maybe I've let other things come in. Maybe there's something I need to sell theoretically today. Maybe there's something I need to let go. Maybe there's something I need to put aside. Maybe there's a relationship that's hindered. You know, sometimes our human relationships can get in the way of our real relationship. When we involve ourselves with certain relationships and people, it will hinder your relationship with God. I don't know about you. I want to be like my daddy with Jesus in heaven. That's it. That's the pearl right there. Which is, when I get to heaven and I talk to Nanny again, there's going to be no sorrow. She's not going to say, Jonathan, you should have focused more on your career, or you should have focused more on this, or focused more on that, or whatever. With Jesus in heaven, that's the pearl of great price. Let's bow our heads today.